There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby!
That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Well, intro so nice. We played it twice. Speaking of twice, you get April Marie here, second day filling in for Sean Sullivan. Father's Day is here for those of you who have not planned and it snuck up on you and you've got your father or you've got a husband in your life or somebody you want to honor for Father's Day. You got a couple days still. Do not delay any further. You can still go out and get your Father's Day cards and your gifts in. It is now too late. I will be reminding you and new listeners throughout the program. This is, of course, and you guys have heard me and have kind of gone through this together with me. This is a tough Father's Day for me. This is my first Father's Day without a father. And dadgummit, I started a column on this. Part of the reason this is so hard is because I'm 44 years old, but I didn't think I'd be saying those words. And it's my dads were young, and then you heard that correctly, dads. I had three growing up fathers. Well, sort of. I had my biological father, of course, but he and my mom were high school sweethearts who didn't make it through high school. Then my stepdad, who Fogle, my namesake, my best friend, and he passed of COVID. I actually like to say he passed with COVID. He didn't pass of COVID. He passed with COVID because of terrible hospital regulations and VA policies and all the madness that you know came with that. And then I had my father, who was married to my mother for over 20 years, my stepfather, and he passed in a car accident just before my middle son was born. My biological father and I reconnected as adults, and I've really just, it's been cool getting to know him, but he passed unexpectedly last year, leaving me with, for those of you who have been following along, leaving me with so many tools. And I'm honoring him this Father's Day. I'm going to write a column on kind of a just an ode to fathers and appreciating them while they're here. But it's really been interesting. I brought back, I say brought back because my father lived in Virginia. I brought back a U-Haul full of his stuff. That's a story for a different day. That what an adventure that was. I'm going to not recommend anybody fly on American Airlines. It was horrible. But anyway, brought back a bunch of his stuff. And it's been really cool because there's so much that as a girl, I consider myself a daddy's girl. I was a daddy, but my dad who raised me, Daddy John and Daddy Rodney, neither of them did anything with their hands. They weren't outdoorsy. They weren't handy. My biological father was. He was a small engine mechanic and a lawnmower repair guy, and he hunted and he fished and he did all of the things. And so I am honoring him this Father's Day. We have kept some of his rifles, and the kids are. I'm going to turn these little kids into hunters and in honor of their, which I've been meaning to do, and I've talked to Sean about so many times, but we're going to turn these little kids into hunters. So Father's Day, don't let it pass. You never know when it's going to be your last one. I look at the last text between, I can look at the last text between my daddy, John, and my daddy, Freddie. And of course we didn't know because, you know, daddy, John, he was cutting up and carrying on in the hospital and then he was ventilated. And then daddy, Freddie, he got in the car and had a heart attack. So don't take them for granted, people. This is your Father's Day weekend introduction of you got a daddy out there. Make sure you honor him. All right. We have so many things on the lineup today. In addition to me being a sappy girl, I mentioned as Jeff was closing out his program, one of the things that has me fired up today is this nonprofit out of Irondale, Alabama, that is targeting ICE. And they were spotlighted on the friggin' news as like a positive thing. And what they're doing is they're alerting people, and they've got this Facebook page and they're sharing information and they're alerting people where ICE is for the sole purpose of people to evade them. You can't convince me there's another reason. And you know, there's going to be supporters who say, well, it's not just illegals being, no, this is not for people who have done all of the things right. The sole purpose of this is so that if you are in the area and ICE is there and you are not supposed to be in this country legally, you have warrants out for your arrest. Maybe you've got deportation orders out. You've got all of the things. The point of this is to evade. And can you imagine as a society allowing and encouraging people to tell when the police are going to come get you when you're doing something wrong or illegal? It, to me, boggles the mind. So we're going to get into that today. Not only is it happening here in Alabama, seriously, Alabama-based group, and I'm going to tell you more about them. Then we're going to talk about, and it's the top story on 1819, one of the top left, I guess, story. The trending stories are the ICE stories, but the NPR funding. You guys, these leftist media outlets, I am all for it. You want to have a leftist media outlet? Somebody wants to go listen to woke nonsense all day? Fine. But do not make the taxpayers shoulder the burden for that. If you cut straight down the middle news, which many people don't even know what it is and wouldn't recognize it if they saw it, because we're so used to news with a slant, that if that would be one thing. But that's not what NPR is. That's not what PBS is. That's not what any of these entities are. And so I want to get into that. Of course, you cannot talk today without looking at what's happening with Israel and Iran. So I'll keep an eye on that as we go throughout the day. But all of these topics and more, and yes, I've got the text line open. It took me a second to get it open. I couldn't get it open for one reason. But I got the text line open, 251-343-0106. That's the number. And we're going to come back and jump right on into that ICE story in just a moment.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Good afternoon, everyone. April Marie here, filling in for Sean this Friday afternoon, just before Father's Day. Somebody texted it on the text line and wanted to wanted to get in on the tip action. Thank you for that, Terry. That was a really good point. In case your wondering mind, as Terry is, Terry's like, wow, it'd be just a shame if they were out chasing ghosts over here. Call us if you see them. 888-664-2325 is the number they're asking for tips. Slides show them. And here's what's crazy. They use the little ice cube because they think they're cute. I don't know. Not cute. ICE kidnapped at least two people. And these are various posts over the last couple weeks. At least two people in Leeds, local police working with ICE. Okay. It's not a kidnapping. If it's a lawful arrest and deportation, that's not kidnapping. I can't tell you how many times I've seen this over the last, you know, couple of weeks. And I'm like, it goes back to that idea. What I want to do at these rallies, somebody start me a GoFundMe, is I want to airdrop constitutions and dictionaries on these people. Seriously. I mean, paperback, of course, not like hardback, because A, that'd be expensive, and B, maybe painful. But for the love of all that's holy, that doesn't constitute a kidnapping. They've got showing where ICE was at a Buc-ee's, showing where ICE was at a Lowe's in Montgomery, taking pictures of the license plates and asking people to search for ICE vehicles. This is nefarious. This, and, you know, Tom Holman and oh goodness, I can see her, but I can't think of her name. Kristi Noem, there you go. Both talked about this. People interfering with ICE are and causing really bad people to get away. That's a whole different story. And then as I was looking into this story, because there was a first story done yesterday by one of my colleagues at 1819 News, Caleb Taylor. And then I followed up because I got a tip that the city of Irondale, which is where this nonprofit is located, that they were actually giving money to the organization. Hysterically, in the funding, in the debate and discussion over funding, the mayor said, I want to give this disclaimer. The organization didn't come to the city asking for money. I did this on my own after having a conversation with the organization. What? What? Imagine your elected official being like, hey, here's a group that works with, and by the way, they call them esteemed partners. The organization names these their esteemed partners: Southern Poverty Law Center, Alabama ACLU, Alabama Appleseed, which by the way has some good people at it, but they also had, there are some things I disagree with that they do, the Alabama State NAACP, and 14 grassroots organizations led by immigrants themselves. You guys are going to find this shocking, but of all their money spent, only 16 appears to actually go towards their programs. I guess it's not that expensive to ask people to call them rat out law enforcement officers. But as I was investigating this, somebody brought up a really good point. And that point is that when you are doing this, some of the ways that what's happening here is some of the ways they're training immigrants, legal and illegal, mind you, because they don't differentiate on their pages. But they're saying when you see law enforcement, don't talk to them, don't sign any documents, don't give them any information. And so what you end up with, or you end up with individuals in this country who are the victims of domestic violence, human trafficking, labor exploitation, you name it, sex crimes, hate, all these things. And here is an organization who has made it their mission to vilify law enforcement officers and tell them, do not, first and foremost, do not speak. Like, imagine that being, and we see that in some cultures, don't talk to the police, don't talk, they're the bad guys. But I can't, for me, as a mother, the idea that you would tell your kids when you see someone with a badge, you know, shut down, don't open the door, don't do these things, inherently making them feel unsafe, inherently making law enforcement untrustworthy. And like I said, really giving the really bad guys, like the dude who was deported and had a paperwork error, brought back and is now facing trial for all this crazy human smuggling, what you end up with is you end up with people who have been conditioned and told, if you see ICE, now this organization is saying don't run, but if you're tipping people off, what do you think they're going to do? If ICE isn't standing in front of them with zip ties or handcuffs or whatever it is they've got, you say they're on their way, they were just seen here, that is telling people to evade them and telling the kind of people we probably want to get off the street, the people who are doing the human trafficking, the people who are doing the crimes in our country. We have a very real problem with the assaults of ICE officers around the country increasing because of the liberal media villainizing them because of these crazy protesters. I told you guys yesterday, I went on a whole thing about the California protesters. And I sit here and I look and I go, you're looking at the wrong bad guys. The guys in uniform trying to uphold the law, trying to defend innocent people, trying to defend property and businesses, trying to make sure you're safe. Those are the good guys. And yet we have entire groups of people, including this group that claims to be a nonprofit, sitting right here in Alabama going, tell us where they are. Who's the bad guy here? Back to the tip, the text line, it says, your airdrop plan is flawed. That requires these illiterate and intellectually deficit people to read. You know, I am taking that it would have to be put on a TikTok video. Oh, man. It's modern life. Idiocy. Idiocracy is not a movie. It's modern life. And yes, I just tripped over that word. No, it is. I truly believe that people have been brainwashed. And you, oh man, you guys know I feel strongly about this. It starts at a young age. It starts with young kids, 5 years old, being taught run from law enforcement, run from a badge. Then they go to class and they're indoctrinated by these teachers who are teaching them all cops are bad. And that the George Floyd case points to a, you know, rampant police corruption and problems. And, you know, during the George Floyd and the Breonna Taylor situations, we saw the defund police movement and the absolute lies, distortion of truth, distortion of facts and figures was just mind-boggling. And this was normalized and then weaponized so that we now have a generation of people who for years, and barely coming to an end now under the Trump administration, but for years were brainwashed with these ideas. Going back to the tip line, the tipster should be prosecuted for interfering with lawful arrest. Oh, that's Firecracker. Good afternoon, Firecracker. And that is one of the things that they had people within ICE, people within DHS tipping off the media and tipping so that they would report on these ICE raids before they happened. And they said they were going after them. They said enough, because what you're doing at this point is you're aiding and abetting criminals. You're aiding and abetting bad behavior. And there is no circumstances in which that's okay. And so to me, there's always a difference between legal immigrants, illegal immigrants, or illegal aliens. And we've got refugees, and here's the problem is the illegal immigrants have been coached and taught and gamed the system on refugees where you can't look at somebody and them go, I'm a refugee, and know it's for real because that the cartels have totally misused and abused that system. All right, I'm going to come back. I'm going to pivot to something else. Back in a minute, you're listening to Midday Mobile with April Murray.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. April Marie here, filling in for Sean this afternoon. It was so great to be here yesterday. I always feel like time just flies when there's things in the news that just get me fired up, which I don't even remember the last time I had a slow day where I was like, well, man, there's not much to talk about today. There's stuff to talk about all day, every day, which is incredibly unfortunate for me because I'm having some esophagus issues. So I talk and then I'm like, okay, I'm dead. Okay, so other thing I wanted to talk about is top of the 1819 news page is a story about Alabama Republicans defunding NPR. Bill passes the House. No more funding. Nothing more than a taxpayer-funded mouthpiece of the left. You guys, I don't know if you have seen NPR lately. I don't feel like the Sean Sullivan crowd is the NPR crowd, but in case you didn't know, they're insufferable. It is absolutely...
Okay. I lost you there for a second. I haven't gone to today's NPR, but I will say every single day it's just woke drivel after woke drivel. Occasionally with like a good investigative piece thrown in, and you're like, how is that person employed there? Like, what is happening? But there is no way. And you look at the congressional hearings on this, and you look at the congressional hearings on this, and the head of NPR, they absolutely recognize that they're left. She's a leftist, for goodness sake. She herself is absolutely unabashedly liberal in every way, shape, or form. And I am so fully supportive of this, so absolutely just over the moon. We should not be funding. Look, I had a little technical difficulty there, and then I get all tongue-tied. We should not be funding this. You cannot justify an organization paying money to an organization that supports child mutilation. You cannot, which, by the way, they do. Man, I was really ready for that Supreme Court case to come out yesterday. So disappointing that they did that. That decision is still pending, because I really feel like we need for the court to say, yes, states, you have a right to protect your kids. Like, no brainer. Well, absolutely no brainer. So going back to the text line right now, as I try to work out the kinks here on my sound, we've got someone said, I would send 10 ICE cars and sit right across the street from them, that being the organization that is trying to tip off people to ICE. Sorry, I'm over here struggling, and I don't know why. Saying I would send that. Okay, we're going to go to a quick break while I fix this audio, because I want you guys to be able to hear me loud and clear as I rant and rave. Back in just a second.
Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Whew, always get scared. All right. I'm telling you, there are a few things in radio more scary than when you're having technical difficulties, and I was so ready to rant and rave on the NPR issue, and so I'm not kidding. We're going to do that entire segment over from go. So y'all just forget I had any technical difficulties there, and we're going to start it all over. All right, so I said, as I mentioned, 1819 News with a story about the funding cuts. The House appropriators looking at $9 billion. Now, that's not just NPR. That's NPR, PBS, and other foreign aid organizations that were wasting money. Okay, you're gonna hear, it bugs me to no end the way that the left uses and abuses people who genuinely need resources, who genuinely, there is a information drought. Maybe they aren't getting news, but I'll tell you what, if we are going to fund a news organization, which I'm not adamantly opposed to, it should at least be a news organization that isn't doing propaganda work for leftists. And that's what Republicans have been saying for decades. And yet every time funding comes up, people scream, oh no, you just hate the media. No, we hate when what is supposed to be billed as straight down the middle news is instead doing out there doing crazy headlines. So I pulled up, although I was having difficulties and couldn't go between both pages, pulled up NPR for today Americans feel, here's one of their spotlights. Americans will feel the impact of immigration enforcement on farm workers. No, it's not immigration enforcement. It is going after people who are here illegally. That's what is happening. Immigration enforcement should not be seen as a bad thing. Immigration enforcement should not be, we should be, yeah, if we have a visa problem, if we have a worker problem, let's address that separately than talking about what's going on with rounding up the millions of people who came in under Biden's open border policies. Failed open border policies that have taxed communities and states. Remember early on in the immigration crisis where people in Texas started busing immigrants and flying immigrants into these liberal sanctuary cities? Nobody wanted it. The same people who are like, yay, they didn't want it there. You better bet your bottom dollar if busloads of individuals we're going to affluent neighborhoods, what they would be doing is they'd be calling ICE and not tipping anybody off that they were doing so either. No, this is an NPR is absolutely guilty of fear-mongering. You're suddenly not going to get your food because the Trump administration is going after those who snuck in or overstayed visas or lied or all of the things. This is what NPR is telling us. There's a way to report straight down the middle what is happening in our country. There really is. That's giving people the facts and letting them come to their own conclusions. But it's been a really long time since news organizations, including NPR, did that. Instead, they put this liberal spin on everything. And it's incredibly frustrating to hear. And I'll turn it on every now and again just to see. And I can filter it out on my own and listen and say, oh my gosh, like this person is insufferable. But I can, you know, just to find out what the headlines that they're watching are. But it has progressively gotten, progressively gotten worse over time. And sometimes it takes a clean house to come in and say, if there are areas that need news coverage, then let's give them, and I don't know that we need a government program to do it, but that's a whole different thing. But let's make sure everybody's got their news, but let's do so in a way that does not push an agenda. Someone on the tip on the text line, which is 251-343-0106, says, for years, I religiously listened to NPR, but over the past 5 to 6 years, I find myself listening less and less. You know, it's a total woke job when even their cooking shows talk about LGBTQ, blah, blah, blah. I'm officially done with them. And that's just it. By the way, cable television, now I'm just sounding like a cranky old lady. Cable television's the same way. There's no like storylines where they don't have to add a character who's non-binary. They don't have to push an agenda of, you know, and that's a very fair point on the cooking shows. Today we're cooking with these ingredients that are here because there are people doing these jobs because Americans wouldn't want them, blah, 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 blah. Like, for the love of that's holy, just show us how to make a salad. You don't have to tell us about Trump's immigration policy and your perspective on it. And yet NPR has found a way to they can't report on RFK Jr. sent Congress, quote, medical disinformation to defend COVID vaccination schedule change. Here's the thing. We know COVID vaccination for children is not necessary. Risk versus rewards. But you're not going to read that on NPR. You're not, because that's not the agenda they want to push. Are they going to talk about the things RFK is doing that is going to make our nation healthier, that's going to make our nation better, the things that are going to target obesity, the things that are going to encourage Americans to get back to healthy lifestyles? I say that, by the way, as somebody who took my daughter to Starbucks this morning. And if I start blowing up the text line on how liberal and woke Starbucks is, you don't have to text me. I know. I do. That's a whole different story for a different day. But back to NPR. All of these news agencies have taken advantage of listenership that has evolved. You listen to NPR back when they were good, and you don't realize how bad they've slidden. You don't see the difference between, because it was like a slow mission creep. In the beginning, if all of the ratings and all of the little markers that say, is this more neutral than not? Is this good? Is this bad? They were highly influenced by the more neutral content. And then over time, there has been a mission creep to where now, again, going to that homepage, going to what they're doing and what they're covering in culture, what they're covering in books. And that's, you look at their book recommendations for kids. You look at, and I was doing that this summer. I was trying to figure out kind of a summer reading list for my kids. And it's woke. It's woke nonsense. It's garbage stuff. It's books with characters that you know, are going through some kind of crisis. It's books, by the way. Oh my gosh. What is with this generation that feels like everyone is and has been traumatized? I was looking at summer reading list for me, and I am convinced, I'm 44, I am convinced women my age, they all believe that they were traumatized in childhood because we have gotten to this therapist age. In NPR, you go to their website, and they push this very same idea. We're all victims. The world is an unfair place. There are all these haves and have-nots. We're a place of oppressors and oppressions. It's ridiculous, and there's no way that we should be giving them billions of dollars in order to promote this nonsense. So I'm all for it. Let's cut out the funding of NPR. If they want to, you know, clean house, put in neutral individuals, get multiple perspectives. Oh my gosh, one of my favorite was an NPR former staffer who went in and talked about the number of the diversity in the work group. And here's the thing, is when liberals talk about diversity, they are never talking about, that they don't include in that viewpoints that are conservatives. I've had this conversation actually with my children's school because I don't have a problem with diversity. Diversity is actually what makes America great. What makes us great is that across the street, there's a Jewish community center, and you better bet your bottom dollar I was over there last year in support of our Jewish neighbors. And then over on the other side, we've got friends of all different faiths, of all different Christian denominations. We've got immigrant friends who came here illegally and chose a path to citizenship, and diversity is what makes us great. Unfortunately, when the liberals over at NPR and the liberals across the country on mainstream media channels talk about diversity, they're only talking about diversity in terms of very certain people and groups. When they talk about diversity, they mean people, and they talk about people of color. They're talking about African Americans. They're talking about LGBTQ. And these days, now I'm just talking fast. When they're talking about LGBTQ and LGBTQ rights, they're very rarely, if ever, talking about homosexuals anymore. The L and the G, what was originally the movement, that has gone way by the wayside. And you look at the coverage that is the community is getting for, say, Pride Month, and it all centers around this new idea of queer people and gender confused people and all of the different, oh my goodness, I did this story on the LGBTQ for Pride Month in the Birmingham National Story. And I was going through the website of the event. Now, this is a Birmingham, Alabama event. Thousands of people from all around Central Alabama go, and they sell just about every Pride flag there is. There are flags there that I literally had to look up. I was like, that's not a real thing. That's not a real thing. Our tax dollars should not go to promoting these, and I hate to say it because it's really impolite, but these wackadoo ideas. There's a bear flag that's for something, and I had to Google it, and then when I Googled it, I wanted to unsee it, and therefore I'm not telling you about it. This is not news. This is agenda pushing. And when it comes time for campaigns, it's a constant stream of hit pieces against conservatives. While we have seen the beginning of a Trump administration that has been highly successful in a number of areas and places, all it is hit piece after hit piece of the things Doge will do, the damage they'll do, now the damage, front page, front story, RFK and his vaccination. What have we learned about COVID vaccinations? Well, we know that kids and teenagers don't need them. We know that there are vulnerable groups. We know that there are treatments available. We know all these things, and they want to take us back to 2020 COVID days, and they want to take us back to before we had information, and it's incredibly frustrating. So throwing that out there, all for it. All for defunding. The bill also rescinds funds for programs at the Department of State that include, I'm going to tell you here, U.S. Institute of Peace. Examples of such taxpayer-funded projects. 1.5 to advance, quote, diversity, equity, and inclusion in Serbia's workplaces and business communities. But again, DEI, code words for pushing liberal propaganda. They don't actually mean diversity. Let's make everybody friends. It means let's alienate groups. $2 million for sex changes and LGBT activism in Guatemala. $3 million for Iraq, Sesame Street. If you guys could see my head right now, like I'm doing the whole puppy head tilt thing. That's a real thing. $2.5 million for electric vehicles in Vietnam. $1.5 million to promote LGBT advocacy in Jamaica, because that's what the Jamaicans need. They need Americans coming in and teaching them about LGBT issues. What are we doing? What are we doing as a nation? We have, you look around the world, and especially today, woke up to the news of the what happened, Israel's attacking Iran and in defense of themselves. Looking at what's going on here, and you think, why? Why in a time where we need to be focused on making sure every dollar, U.S. taxpayer dollar, is going to programs that are going to actually be for the health and defense and strength and education and all of the things that make our country great, are we now instead paying for this nonsense? So it's the name of the bill, No More Funding. It's so funny. The name of the bill that was originally led by Alabama's Adderholt, Robert Adderholt, Strong introduced the No More Funding for NPR Act 2025. I could talk about this all day. There is a need for news in our country. This ain't it. So I'm absolutely supportive of this. All right, in the next hour, I've gotten my technical issues worked out. In this next hour, I do want to get onto some additional state issues. You guys stay tuned. You are listening to Midday Mobile with April Marie, a tongue-tied and somewhat technical difficulties this first hour, but we're going to just knock that second hour out. Don't forget Father's Day weekend.
There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone, and I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Well, good afternoon, everyone. April Marie here. Man, Here's the problem with doing 2 days of radio with you guys. First off, you're my favorite audience in the state. Don't tell the listeners of 99.5 that I said that. I'll be with them on Monday. They could get their feelings hurt and not invite me back. You guys are so great that as I sit here, especially as I follow along with the text line, and I just enjoy being here. And then 2 hours just flies. I guess an advantage of doing Jeff's show is he's got 3 hours. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. Here's the thing about the text line on this. I enjoy it when I hear from people that, now I love the listeners, those of you, Chris and Terry, some of the others who text nearly every time I'm on. I don't know if y'all do that for the guys. I'm going to pretend you don't, that it's some sort of April Marie fan club. But I also like hearing from those who don't use the text line often. Like you're like, I don't need to text Jeff or Sean or Dalton or Dan or any of the peeps. Text me, 251-343-0106. I want to, before I get back into the politics, I had a text earlier. I started the program reminding you guys, and I'm getting a little teary, reminding you guys that it's Father's Day weekend. I've been working on, as I said, a column. As this is my first Father's Day without all three fathers. And here's the thing it's very weird to say that, because first off, who in the world, that is a indictment on our where we are, that those words are coming out of my mouth. And some of you, it might be jarring, like, who has three fathers? And then some of you, it's like, won't faze you. That is an indictment on what has happened to our family system. And I say that as a single mother. The importance of fathers. I wrote a column for AL.com a couple of years ago because there was this wacky liberal pushed, like, happy Father's Day to single moms. And I was like, what is this nonsense? Even in a single parent household where the single parent, which by the way, my kids are so incredibly fortunate. Their father and I are friends and we get along and we do things as a family, trips and meals. We actually all had dinner together last night and we'll again this night. Like we don't act as a typical broken home, but the best thing for children is an intact family mother and father, period. I say that as someone who grew up in a broken home and now is raising my children in not a complete home. The best thing will always be that. But the second best thing is having those relationships. And as I go through this Father's Day without a father here, I really feel like it's important to say that no matter what your family dynamics are, keep those relationships strong. Like we just have to. And don't this idea, happy Father's Day moms. No. Kids need, if not their actual father, if maybe their father is not in the picture for whatever reason, they still need strong men in their lives. Here's the problem with the left. They have trying to normalize, not understanding there's a difference in the genders, but there is. There's a huge difference in the way that my kid's uncle plays with them or their father plays with them or watches them or lets them get away with than me. I kid you not. Uncle has an uncle punch. Him and my son have started doing this uncle punch thing. My instinct is to go, no, we don't punch. But you know what? That's a boy thing. That's a guy thing. That's a gender thing. And I'm okay with that. Now, if it was my daughter, that'd be a different story. I'd be like, what, wait, huh? But we have as a society gotten away from really recognizing, appreciating the role that good fathers have in their kids' lives. And it is not, should not in any way, shape or form be diminished. And the feminism movement, I am all for women having, you know, all of the things, the pay that you're entitled to if you're doing the same job. Often we're not. Often if they're me and a man, as a mom, I'm carrying a different load in my family. But as we have allowed feminism, this equal rights, I can do everything a man can do. One of the things that's gotten watered down is that we can't. I am incapable of being my children's father because I'm not a dude. My brain is not wired that way. Fathers are such an important part of the foundation of our society. And we have gotten to a place where on TV, fathers are diminished and they're like the aw shucks and they aren't as involved in their kids', you know, lifestyles or you know, lives or decision-making and all of the things. The idiot father, the role of the idiot father is just way too common, or the absent father, or the whatever, that we've, as a society, kind of pushed this narrative. But healthy, beautiful, wonderful relationships with the fathers and the kids and the fathers, and by the way, even the mothers, is such an important part. We wouldn't have half the purple-haired, green-haired, nose-ringed up, basement-dwelling, they-them individuals if kids were coming from homes with a healthy relationship between the mother and the father. And if they are not together, none of this toxic, I'm not going to allow my kids to see their dad nonsense. Fathers are important. So on this Father's Day, I want to stress to you guys, take a minute, each and every one of you, and just evaluate what's happening in your life and your appreciation for your father and all of the things, because one day they could be gone. One day you're going to look at your kids' lives, you're going to look at your grandkids' lives, and you're going to realize that that father figure, is one of the most important critical components to a healthy lifestyle and healthy results for them and all the things. So Marty texted on the text line and said, the first Mother's Day and the first Father's Day after my parents died was awful. I was an emotional wreck. I'm over here crying. The reason I'm telling you this is because it gets better. Every Mother's Day and Father's Day since getting the first one out of the way has been nothing but joy. So I am still in the process of handling my father's estate. And there has been a bittersweet part of getting to know him better through his stuff. By the way, my father was a guy's guy. And I do wish I had had the opportunity to get him to know him better growing up, because I didn't have that guy's guy in my life. I didn't have that, the hunter, although I did do some fishing growing up, but I didn't have the tools and the self-sufficiency and the things. And my dad had, obviously, he had two girls. And so I feel like he really needed a son, daggummit. But it would have been so cool to have him teach my sons, his grandsons, some of what I'm learning he really loved. And so, yeah, this first Father's Day is bittersweet. But as I focus not just on my father, I wanted to take a moment today and say this role cannot be replaced. You as a father cannot be replaced. You as a grandfather cannot be replaced. Thank you. We appreciate you. We recognize you. And if you haven't gotten that Father's Day gift card or card yet, or thought about what you're going to do, mark your calendar to make sure you do it. All right, back in just a minute with some more political talk. You're listening to Midday Mobile with April Marie.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Man, just talked myself right through that one. I always get a lot of questions when I talk about being a single mother, because I don't know why there are people who are surprised by the fact that I'm a single mother who absolutely will unequivocally, without hesitation, tell you the God's honest truth is the best thing in the world for children is to have a home with a mother and father. Now, does that mean I want women to stay in abusive relationships, or I don't understand that there are circumstances where it's not ideal, or there's life happens? No, I obviously know that. But in a best case scenario, there is no changing my mind on this. That's the absolute best. And in a world where the absolute best, most perfect thing for can't happen, the next best thing is for there to be a father or father figure in the kid's life. And I say kid meaning from birth till they're all the way walking themselves down the aisle forever. I don't know. In that person's life to do the role that only got men. I say guys, only dudes can do. Only men can do. So we'll see. I really think that there has been a swift enough pushback on this idea that there is no gender differences, that we may not see all of the happy Father's Day moms nonsense this year, because whew, that was exhausting. That's been exhausting. We got to stop eliminating things we know to be the truth. We got to stop acting as if reality isn't reality. Somebody texted me earlier when I was talking about the Supreme Court. I'm waiting on that Supreme Court decision. And one of the things that I really, and it's crazy because I used to be a single issue voter. I had one issue that was my starting point for looking at candidates. And that was the Second Amendment, because if you're willing to give an inch on the Second Amendment, then I can pretty much guarantee that you're willing to give an inch or more on other things. And so that was my barometer. My barometer was, if you are willing to say that you support quick common sense gun regulations, or you think that gun regulations will help prevent crime, it won't. Or if you think whatever these absolutely insane ideas of leftist gun grabbers are, if you support those, even with a twinge of you know, some kind of trying to give conservative cover, I would know that you were going to be a softie and I shouldn't vote for you. Used to be a single issue voter, and I say used to be probably up until about 5 or 6 years ago. And then I realized that the second almost as good barometer is the gender issue, especially when it comes to protecting our kids. And I realized that if somebody's willing to play the games of, yes, let's use preferred pronouns, and yes, let's let little boys wear dresses and tell them they are now a little girl, and yes, let's cut off perfectly good body parts, that pretty much is going to eliminate a whole different slate of candidates. And those who are willing to give an inch there, that also tells me not the candidate for me. And so I went from a single issue voter to a Second Amendment is always my first look at. And now I also look at where they are on these other issues, because as they go on those two, you don't even have to look much further than that, because those are ones where it's common sense. If you can't, and I watched during the Biden administration as all these appointed officials, all these cabinet level or judge levels would like try to dance around, is there a difference between a man or a woman, or what is a woman? If you can't answer that question, you shouldn't be in a position of authority. It's literally that simple. If you can't figure that out, then you shouldn't be in a position of authority. And so earlier I started talking about that, and someone texted and asked about the University of Alabama healthcare system. And that has been in the state. I'll read that next, that text I just got. That has been the University of Alabama, UAB healthcare system was one of the biggest pushers of that agenda for children in the state. One, you know, if you wanted, and I hate to use their words, they'd call it gender affirming care, but that's not what it was. If anybody ever tries to use the term, oh, they just need gender affirming care. Well, it's not hard to affirm a gender when it's biological, you nuts. You're not trying to affirm a gender. You're trying to confuse a child. There's no like mistaking these two. Don't use your weird words to try to redefine what we know exist, biological realities. So someone asked about UAB, and I think by the grace of God that the state law has protected youth. I did a story, gosh, it was probably 2 months ago, on a book that came out, and it featured a young girl from Central Alabama. And that young girl had her whole heart set on going to UAB and having a mastectomy, a double mastectomy, because she thought she was a boy. And they wrote that she, the author wrote that she was going to, she's going to have to go to Georgia because UAB wasn't doing the procedure anymore. So as far as I know, our state legislature got this one right. And Steve Marshall has Steve Marshall has been the champion of these kids since the bill passed, and in fighting in court and in fighting to make sure that the Biden administration wasn't doing anything to undermine our law and all of the things. And it has been, it has been really, to me, it's a way to see who our heroes are. Because those who stand up for the vulnerable, those are our heroes. I laughed out loud because here I am talking deep subjects and someone said, you're single. You're saying there's a chance. I don't date. Actually, I thought I was going to start dating again. And I can't believe I'm saying this on air, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't date. I gave up dating. We'll see if God has any other plans for me, because I always laugh and say when I have plans, God changes them. But I instead, I focus my time on my kids and my church, and then guest hosting radio shows. Okay, back to the text line, 251-343-0106. Oh, I will say someone asked me what my thoughts are on Israel and Iran. And the fact of the matter is, I support Israel. I support Israel's right to defend themselves. Where this puts us as a nation in defense, in terms of our involvement and all those things, you're going to have a different radio host for that. I am not going to sit here and filibuster you. I'm just going to tell you that that this isn't my, I know enough to know that I trust the Trump administration. And I know there are people who don't, right? There are people who are like, no, like this guy's.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
You are listening to Midday Mobile. Sean Sullivan not here, having a long, speaking of fathers, what a great father he is. And I'll give a shout out to him, even though he's not listening. Jeff Poor also, you want to, I don't know if you guys know how much he does with his kids, but of my male friends, his feed is always probably, I would say, top 3 to 5 in terms of fathers posting about doing things with his kids. And that, my friends, is how we defeat the crazies. That, my friends, is how we end up with fewer kids going off to college or going to school and being able to be indoctrinated. Because you know what? Girls who have relationships with their fathers don't get confused about their gender, because they come home to daddy and they say, I'm a boy, and daddy's going to be like, no. And not in a mean way, not in an abusive way, not in a Colorado needs to take away your parental rights way, but in a legitimately, we are have a relationship, and you respect me and I respect you, and this is nonsense. If we had more of this, if we have more fathers who are active in their life, by the way, if you missed out at the beginning of the show, I said this is my Father's Day episode, and I will continue to discuss this all the rest of the 30 minutes. But if we had more of this, we would have more people who recognize the madness going on in our world as what it is truly, madness. It is absolutely one of those situations where where fathers make such a difference in their kids' lives. And so Father's Day, remember, honor those in your lives. All right, we started out the program. If you are just tuning in, I want to get back to these two stories. If you go to 1819news.com, you'll see that on the trending news, they're the top two stories. While I was on air, I heard from one of the city council members who voted for this organization to get funding from the city of Irondale, and walking that back a little bit. Here's the thing. You can't unring the bell. You signed a contract with a nonprofit that was vague enough for them to use the money to do anything they wanted. Well, pretty much. That's what they did. The city of Irondale gave this organization that has a presence statewide to, and it says, let's see, hold on. It says that they're all there to do training, including severe, provides programs for the benefit of Latinx, which by the way, Latinx, how are you going to give a contract to somebody and not even realize they're using the term Latinx? Back up. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know this is a politically charged group by just that phrase. Latinx citizens provide programs, including severe weather awareness workshops, which is the silliest like thing, because if you go to this group's website, that's not what they do. This group touts their relationships with organizations like the Southern Poverty Law Center. Hey guys, I don't know if you know this, but the Southern Poverty Law Center is one of the biggest hate groups in the country. If you are a person of faith, the Southern Poverty Law Center hates you. I wish it wasn't that way. I wish I didn't say that with such absolute surety of the situation, but they do. If you are a person of faith who believes God created a man and a woman, this group hates you. And this group is now targeting ICE agents, and asking people to report them. I'm wondering what other, and I'm all sorts of intrigued, what other cities are funding this madness? Because that's what this is. These attacks on our law enforcement officers, these attacks on ICE and DHS and local law enforcement who are just trying to uphold the law, they have to stop. They shouldn't be promoted. They surely shouldn't be promoted by cities. And I don't want to hear your hemming and hawing and maybe, they do other stuff too. I don't care if they do it, which by the way, their funding shows it's like over 80% overhead. So they ain't doing a lot of stuff to start with. They got a big staff, and I looked at some of their current positions open. They pay pretty decently well. They got a big staff over there. And if they spend half their time, telling people to avoid law enforcement, not to open their door for law enforcement, not to talk to law enforcement, not to sign anything. They are creating a culture of distrust. On the text line, somebody was talking about that earlier, and I've missed that comment, has gone down a little bit, about the, we were talking about the history repeating itself, and they said there were things that happened in the past. A lot of people had an opportunity to see the changes in law enforcement. There were times when a person of color will be stopped by certain organizations in law enforcement and was mistreated. Now, I believe that law enforcement should be on foot walking communities, building a relationship with the youth. Community policing is important. There is, and we've seen more of it over the years, community policing and people understanding what law enforcement does. The overwhelming majority of law enforcement officers' time is not out there catching bad guys. It's literally out there doing paperwork. There's a lot of time waiting. How do I know this? Well, I spent about 4 years doing ride-alongs with law enforcement officers because that's what I thought I wanted to be when I grew up. I was in high school. I was a police explorer. I worked in dispatch, volunteered in dispatch, the non-emergency line. The overwhelming majority of the time, law enforcement officers aren't out there chasing bad guys. They're taking reports. Now, here's the thing, is there is that percentage when they are chasing really, really, really bad guys, or they are responding to a really violent incident. And what we don't need, and we certainly don't need paid for by taxpayer money, is we don't need organizations out there vilifying law enforcement and worse, tipping the really, really bad guys off to where they are. We have seen in other cities around the country where this has led to an uptick in assaults on ICE agents. I think it was something like 300% the assaults on ICE agents have gone up, the White House was reporting. That's absolutely insane. So if you have not seen the stories yet, 1819news.com, top two trending stories on your right, you're going to find the one I wrote this morning and the one from yesterday, where a Alabama news station like spotlighted, it was WVTM 13, they did a story on this, and where the organization said that they're trying to get a call about activity. They send volunteers to go out and verify what's happening. There's images on their social media page of where ICE is, accusing ICE of kidnapping. Really? Really? That's what they're... This is so misrepresenting. And then for those who are here lawfully, and this is what frustrates me, is, and this across communities that do this, that vilify law enforcement, what you end up with is you end up with a generational, people are scared to go to law enforcement. So young girls grow up to be young women who get themselves into relationships, and all their lives they've been told, avoid law enforcement. They've been trained, avoid law enforcement. Don't talk to them. Don't open the door to them. Don't go to them. You can't trust them. It's a very unhealthy cycle, and you cannot convince me that this should be going on. It's ridiculous. People should have the resources they need to following the law and to be safe. And this isn't the way about it. Those two stories are there. I think you're going to see more of it. As we go into the weekend and we're preparing, if you guys aren't familiar with, maybe we'll talk about that, the No Kings protest when we come back. As we look at a time where the unrest that's happening around the country is scary, it's frightening communities. You look at what's happening in California. Now, Alabama is not California, but we saw some of that during the George Floyd protest. We saw in Birmingham, Alabama, them trying to take down the statue. By the way, I saw Mayor Woodfin's office celebrating the anniversary of the statue coming down in Lynn Park. And I kind of chuckled to myself because I remember being assured that things would get better in Birmingham if that statue was down, because the anger and resentment people felt while the statue was up was causing so many of the city's problems. Well, what happened after that statue came down? Crime went up. But we were assured that all it would take was that statue to come down, everything would be okay. But when the statue was, when they were talking about removing the statue, they also, during those same protests, two reporters were assaulted. A building had the glass knocked, multiple buildings had glass knocked out of it. I believe there was a fire set, all sorts of things. It can happen in Alabama. And we'll talk about on the flip side of this, some of what's going on in these No King rallies. As I said yesterday, what's amazing to me is the left turning a blind eye to everything that happened during the Biden administration and now showing up to protest Trump with lies and destruction. All right, back in a minute for our final segment. You are listening to Midday Mobile with April Marie.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Good afternoon, everyone. Friday before Father's Day weekend. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. I remember doing that before, I want to say it was Mother's Day too. I'm almost positive there was a fill-in day before Mother's Day that I was doing the same thing. Like, come on, guys, get it together. You still got some time. I'll tell you what my kid's father asked for Father's Day, the most ridiculous ask I think he's made for in terms of gifts. My daughter texted him earlier this week and said, what do you want for Father's Day? And he responded with a picture of a very specific toothbrush. And I was like, what? What? But I'll have you know that the toothbrush arrived. We have the toothbrush. It is, in fact, the strangest Father's Day gift we have gotten to date. But we got it, and so there's that. All right. I'm over here texting Dalton. I'm over here texting, texting about Jeff. On the text line, Jesse says, can we take you and replace Jeff for asking for a friend? Jesse, you are so very sweet. I think Jeff Poor may not think the same thing. I responded, by the way, you know, he can see these messages. I don't know that he does see the messages from other shows because I'm pretty sure people open it up and then they thread through. But throwing it out there, he has been one of my biggest supporters on getting me on this channel, and I love coming on this channel. I do, and I know I'm very different than I'm gonna assume I'm very different than the one you get from the guys. Going back to my theory earlier, which isn't a theory, going back to my position earlier that there's such a huge difference between men and women, Jason, letting you know that, I'm not going to say on air what you just sent, unless you send me a message saying to, I will say, Jason, that I have passed your message along to Dalton, and then such a fun thing. Somebody messaged in about, I was talking about the Irondale mayor, and someone said, Irondale isn't as bad as Mobile's Sandy Stimson having his LGBTQ liaison putting out commercials for Mobile showing gay pride parades and supporting drag shows in front of the cathedral. If pride remained what it was when it started, I would turn a blind, the pride events, I feel like most of us would just ignore it because it wasn't what it is. Now it is, in this whole month, the entire idea of Pride Month, as I said earlier today, it's been hijacked. It is no longer about equality of, you know, the, in whatever ways that that gay and lesbian couples were seeking equality. It's no longer about that. Now it's about not only do we deserve equal rights, but we deserve to infringe on your rights. And that makes me so angry because you have this is a political, purely partisan, political, nonsensical position that for compelled speech, you do not have the right to tell me I have to call a boy a girl. That I've talked about this before, but the dude that goes around to restaurants and then records his entire meals for the sole purpose of catching some poor waiter or waitress doing their jobs, going about their busy day, their stressful, hectic. And I don't know if you've ever waited tables, but it's the worst job I have ever had. And I've had some bad jobs. Okay. I always tip well because I really was terrible at customers at that, but individuals who go out there to trap people and to force them into their compelled speech, it has hijacked what used to be a movement. And it makes me so angry. Those who say you must, for the sake of my political views, you must, disregard your religious beliefs. And that goes across how many religions are there that recognize they, them? There ain't many. There ain't nowhere in the Bible. Is there somebody who it's like, and this is Joshua, but his preferred pronouns were they, them, or he went by they, she. Like, what the garbage is that? No, you do not have a right to do that. And pride, you should not be proud of flaunting your kinks and your whatever in front of children, pushing them on children. The guy who did the Birmingham, and if you haven't seen this 1819 news story, I wrote this story earlier this week, Kelly Clarkson showcased the Birmingham Pride event. And the person who put on the Birmingham Pride event was a man who wrote a book about his sexuality it's a cartoon book geared towards kids 8 to 13. I have kids. I have two kids in that age range. You don't, this idea that you should be pushing ideological, sexual ideas and conversations on kids is insane to me. I know I'm talking, preaching to the choir here, ground zero of some of these library fights. Erica Thomas has written a lot of good stories about that. You do not have a right, and you should not be proud to be introducing kids to pornographic materials. Why does that have to be said in real life? You know, it is the middle of June, and I really do think, that that this year has been among the tamer. Do you remember when Biden hosted all of the absolute crazy LGBT people, paraded them, and I mean that like quite literally, paraded them through the White House and showed them off, these gender fluid. What does that even mean? I had a tomboy phase. It was awkward. It was bad, by the way. My tomboy phase, I am the girliest girl you will meet if you haven't seen me in person. Rarely will you find me outside of high heels, maybe if I'm running errands or I'm not feeling well. But literally 90% of the time I'm going to be in high heels. If I'm going to a meeting or something, 90% of the time I'm going to be in a dress or skirt. I'm just that girl. I am that girl. And so what is this gender fluid nonsense, and why are we telling kids that it's that this is a thing? Tomboys have been a thing. Boys who are a little bit on the effeminate side and are just the sensitive ones, I think every single girl growing up had one of those friends, and they weren't always gay or they weren't trans, which is what society tells them they have to be right now. You know, the night and day difference. People ask me, as some of the Trump stuff goes on and on and on, as somebody who was always hesitant and skeptical, and Sean and I discussed this on air a lot, as someone who wasn't always the biggest Trump fan, how do I feel about what's going on in the second administration? And I have to tell you, coming off of the Biden administration, I love it. I love it so much. And I didn't see myself getting there with Trump, but I do. The just sanity that says we're going to unring the bell. We're going to protect our military men and women. Right now, there was such a push against Hegseth. And right now, as we look at what's going on around the world, there's no one I'd want there more. Making sure that military readiness, not DEI and agenda pushing, is the priority. All right, I've talked myself out of showtime. You guys know where to find me on X, APRYLMARIE. Until next time, it's always great to be here. Don't forget, this weekend is what? Father's Day. Take care. Till next time.